What are you doing this time tomorrow? Apologies if you come to church hoping to forget that, but what are you doing this time tomorrow? It'll take you a while. Oh, sorry, what's he say? If it's not too personal, turn to your neighbor and in 10 words or less, tell them. Think, I haven't a clue, you can say. But well, what are you doing this time tomorrow? If you haven't got somebody sitting next to you, you could tell the person behind. It's only 10 words, all right? Ten words. Okay, that's good. That's good. Now, don't get your hopes up. This isn't going to be that artistic. But I'm going to draw this stress scale on my flip chart here. It's basically one vertical line. This time tomorrow, whatever you said, how stressful is that thing you're doing? Okay, on my stress scale here, right at the top, this is really stressful. You're totally out of your depth. We'll put an exclamation mark here. If you live up here too long, you're going to be burning out big time. Maybe that is where some of you are today. It's no joke. Down here, my stress scale, this is where you're totally relaxed, horizontal line, just chilled beyond belief. And here is what some people call the holy grail, where you're stretched just a little bit, but not too much. Now, this might not work, but let's try this. Who'd like to shout out what they're doing this time tomorrow? And I'll guess where it is on your stress scale. Yeah, work. Yeah, well, I can't really guess. What's your work? Presenting to my team. Well, depending on where your team, how friendly your team are, it could be up here. It could be down here. I don't know, but who knows? So, somebody else, what are you doing this time tomorrow? Sorry? Food bank, working at a food bank. I've no idea where that is. That could be very stressful. That might not be. One last one. We're going to go for one last one. Sitting in a coffee shop reading a newspaper. Let me hazard a guess. I reckon that's down here somewhere. That sounds great. Tomorrow's my day off. This time tomorrow, I'll tell you where I am on the stress scale by choice. I do like coffee shops and sitting in there, but I'm sort of about here, which is in the stressed level, stretched. I'll tell you why. This time tomorrow, every Monday, I have my French conversation lesson. And I say to my French teacher, listen, I really want you to push me. You know, just talk to me like you would normally in France. So she does that, and I say, okay, we'll go a little bit slower. You know, but I don't need grammar lessons. You know, I've been learning this language for goodness knows how many years. Stretch me a bit. This up here is where learning happens. If you're a disciple of Jesus, the word disciple literally means in the original language from which disciple comes, learner. If you don't want to learn, don't follow Jesus. Jesus is looking for disciples who are learners, and learning happens where you are stretched. Not all stretching and stress is a bad thing. The purpose of your life, I believe, because it's in God's word and it's my experience, is that God wants you to grow to become the best person you are designed to be. That's his purpose for James. It's one reason we love to dedicate as well as baptize children here. They are beautiful visual aids of God's purposes for us. When I was learning maths, the way I learned maths in school was to be set problems. Not all problems are good, but it's through being stressed and stretched that we learn. Jesus is the great teacher looking for disciples who will follow him. Follow me, says Jesus. And here's where Jesus leads his disciples. He did it 20 years ago. He's doing it today. He's doing it this time tomorrow. Here. In the learning place. He is the good shepherd. And you know he's the good shepherd when he's your shepherd. And he doesn't lead us here to burn us out. You could be saying, Jonathan, I live my life up here 24/7. He's the Lord who's the good shepherd who leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. But as the prayer said from Akeem, did you notice that? A little phrase, it's a very true phrase. In service is your strength. You see, Jesus calls us to serve him in ways that are stretching, in ways that are impossible unless he helps us. And he is the great teacher who loves to use us. What's your 2020 prayer? A great prayer is, Lord Jesus, would you show me where you're calling me to follow you? Jesus once recruits some disciples who are fishermen, and he says, effectively, up to now, you've been fishers of fish. You're pretty good at that. That's down here on the stress scale. If you follow me, I'm going to invite you to be fishers of men. Oh, can't do that, they say. Jesus is in the disciple-making business of leading you and me and all disciples into places that aren't comfortable, but into lives of great significance, of great meaning, of great fulfillment. He's the good shepherd. We're going to see what this looks like in this morning's reading as John comes forward now to bring it to us. It's in Luke chapter 10, and you can turn to page 1041 if you've got one of these Bibles, or if you've got your own, it's Luke chapter 10. And the way it happens is Jesus gets 72 of his followers, apart from the 12 he already has. John, wherever you are, you can come up now. So he's got these 72 followers along with his 12, and he gives them a mission, a job to do. He sends them out, verse 9, to heal the sick and tell people the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, he's saying, this is my mission for you. It's up here. You can't do this on your own. But I'm giving you my authority, he says, and I am sending you, verse 3. They feel pretty daunted. They might not have been on the healing the sick course or the preaching the kingdom of God course. Well, those are two very good things. But they do have the promise of Jesus. He is going to use them and teach them. And this, from verse 17, is what happens straight after.
Then the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to the babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, And no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. This is the word of the Lord.
Believing in Jesus is not simply having a whole lot of information that you do very well in the religious round in your pub quiz. It's experiencing that Jesus is Lord. If you experience Jesus' power breaking in, that's exciting. Verse 17, the 72 returned with joy. What's your vision for 2020? The vision for me, for every church, should be that something of the power of Jesus works through us, exactly as it did through these 72. Jesus turned up. His power made the difference. They experienced that Jesus is Lord. Verse 17, even the demons submit to us in your name. In 2020, Jesus wants his disciples, me, you, his church here across the world, to experience the same, to learn that he's powerful. Sometimes we pray, Lord, use me. But actually, Jesus is saying, use me. We use Jesus' power when we step out in faith. The 72 step out in fear and trembling and faith, hoping and praying that Jesus would use them, and he did. Not doing so is like having a Porsche 911 in your garage and never using it. You can know everything there is to know about your Porsche 911, but it's quite a good idea to use it. That's not a perfect analogy, but it's what we can do with Jesus. Saying Jesus is Lord is experiencing his power. I sometimes talk with some of you who go into Brixton Prison on Sundays to take the services there. Andy, who leads the team, is preaching next Sunday. That congregation, any more than you, don't want anything that's kind of theoretical or boring or just religious. No, it's all about Jesus, who is Lord, who is powerful and exciting. And every one of the team I talk with, they're excited about what God's doing there. There's no small amount of problems and difficulties. Goodness, I mean, Andy can tell you about them if you're interested. Good to pray for it. We have a Jesus who is asking us, you and me, this time tomorrow, maybe, to step out in faith. Maybe just in a small way, believing. Our vision for 2020 is believing. It's not just having some theory in our head. It's actually Jesus making a difference to you and me this time tomorrow, which I'm just using as a symbolic way of saying any day, any moment. But it does so happen that this time tomorrow, I know what my French teacher is going to say. She's going to say, how was your weekend? Because it's French conversation, that's how she always starts, to make conversation. She actually says, qu'est-ce que t'as fait ce week-end? But with a better accent. Now, I could say, now, just conceivably, somebody's going to ask you that at least sometime this week. Now, you could say, oh, I had a great weekend, thanks. How was yours? You could say that. I'm suggesting we're bottling it. What about if you say, well, actually, I was in church and it was really boring. No, don't say that. Well, you know, just sow a seed. Now, look, this is easier for me, maybe, than you, because people tend to ask, what do you do? That's quite an interesting question for a vicar. What were you doing this weekend? Push the boat out a bit. The worst that can happen in some places on this earth is that you'd be imprisoned or worse for your answer by saying you went to church. The worst that can happen in this country is a lot less than that. What is the step of faith that's just up here, that the Lord who promises to be your shepherd is leading you to make, that you do with fear and trembling, not to play it safe, but to push the boat out? Jesus the Lord, who once sent 72 out to heal the sick. Listen, you don't have to be a GP to heal the sick this week. The greatest illness sweeping the land is that making people mentally or emotionally unwell. You might be in that place. You know, one word, one gesture of love, of encouragement to you is a part of Jesus' healing work in your life. Supposing you, this time tomorrow, has the opportunity to give that word or that gesture that comes from the healing power of Jesus. Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Jesus is Lord. So use him, trust him. Secondly, Jesus is Lord, if that's your belief, it means you're not. I'm not. This is why Jesus uses little children as a visual aid. I praise you, verse 21, Luke 10, verse 21. If you've got a Bible open, look at it. I praise you, Father, Jesus says, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned. There's nothing wrong with learning and wisdom, except when our wisdom and learning is our Lord. And he says, and revealed them to little children. In 2020, Jesus wants you and me to become more childlike in learning to lean on him. Children get this. Over Christmas, we saw in our family a bit of this. We had 17 people once, a few times in our house, most of them French, so I have my French lesson. But one needed the most attention. He was the sort of size and age of James. And he's like a learning machine, because everything's new. The whole of life is, you know, new and out of your depth. But really exciting. That there's a blue light on top of the oven. Let's see what happens if we touch that. Oh. That there's some stairs. Wow, let's get to the top of them. That's so exciting. And once we're on the top, wow, there's some stairs to go down. Let's see how we get down. That's really exciting. But because there's people who love him on hands, who are sort of bigger power than him, he knows he's going to be safe. One part of the Bible talks about the foolishness of the Christian message. No human wisdom or learning can make sense of entrusting James, for example, as we did this morning, to a man born 20 years ago, unless he's the Lord. And just as children have a childlike trust in those they've learnt by experience to trust, the foolishness of the gospel, the Christian message, is that Jesus is Lord. You can trust him. And finally, where Jesus leads us, where the Good Shepherd leads us, is to a place where we're learning to love the Lord our God, with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our soul, with all our strength. We're growing up so that just not just on Sunday mornings, we're believing and we're singing that Jesus is Lord, but we're actually living it out. So that when the good shepherd, like this shepherd in the picture here, if you can see it, he's telling the sheep, telling his flock, don't go this way. Even though it looks so good and it feels so right, because we trust him, we obey him and follow. The little chap in our house, when he was so looking forward to going down the stairs head first, and those who had learned to love and trust were holding him back, saying, no, 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 don't go that way. Go this way. You know, by day 13, he'd learned it. What are the things in 2020 where we need to put our trust in the Good Shepherd so that we can call him our shepherd, my shepherd? Jesus isn't just Lord. He wants to be your Lord. And you know Jesus is the good shepherd when you make him your shepherd. In 2020 as a church, as we've tried to do in 2019, we are knocking on Jesus' door continually to ask him, where do you want us to plant a church? We knocked for a long time in New Cross. But because he's the good shepherd, who's the powerful shepherd, and we can trust him as a shepherd, we believe he's calling us to plant somewhere. So we're not giving up. And because he's the good shepherd who loves to get his word out, not into a holy huddle, but get it out this time, tomorrow, and any time. That's why you want to get something on our site that's alive and speaking of Jesus out there, where 27,000 people pass our site every day. We're not necessarily the greatest at these things. When I tell my French teacher what I was doing yesterday, I'm not the greatest, not just because of French either. Our witnessing is like in faltering, struggling words. But the smile of Jesus is on his children who are in stumbling steps, believing in his power, leaning on his loving embrace. He's proved it on a cross, dying for us. He loves us with all his heart and mind and soul, his body and his blood. And now he's looking for people who will use him. I finish with this. On the Sunday before Christmas, in the evening, we had this great idea. It was sort of back in October, I think, to do the evening service in the bar across the road. It's called Bar Story. And at 4 o'clock that afternoon, I remember distinctly thinking, oh God, this was such a good idea in October. It's exactly what Luke 10 is all about, you know, sort of going out. But why are we doing this? It'd be so much easier to have a nice service in church. And to be honest, it would. And I'm sure we could have done it a whole lot better over there. But whenever we step out in faith to witness to Jesus' good news and his healing power in any way that's way out of our comfort zone and frankly out of our depth, his smile is upon us. His smile is upon you. You who are poor and weary like me, who need his constant restoring, his smile is on us. He sings his songs of love over us and equips us for this great mission of significance to get his word out. As the band comes forward, I'm going to invite you to do this. Before we pick up the children, I'm going to invite anyone who knows that this time tomorrow, or this time any day, is a place where you are really going to be struggling to trust God, to lean on God, to love God. If you wish to, even if you are the only person, to come forward to receive anointing, it's with oil. It's a Christian symbol, symbolizing the help of God. For all of us who say, Lord Jesus, I need your help to love you and to serve you. I believe that in serving you is indeed your strength. I'm looking for your healing in body, mind, and spirit so I can pass it on to others. I'm looking for your word to live in me, that I can share it with others in whatever language. I need your help. Would you please stand with me? If that prayer is yours today, if any of that makes sense to you, you can come forward if you wish to receive this anointing. And then if you want to pray for anything specific, which we won't do up here, one of our prayer team, which is over or to your right on my left, will pray specifically into whatever situation you're in this time tomorrow in your life. We worship this Jesus who is Lord. We can trust him. We can lean on him. He invites us to love him. He is the good shepherd.